Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
John chapter 19, and I want to read verses 38 through 42 to you. And we're going to allow the Lord to minister to us this morning. John chapter 19. Verses 38 through 42. So what happened here is that Jesus has already died on the cross. All right, this is where we're at. And it says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and he took the body of Jesus. Verse 39, and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. So listen, last week, which was Palm Sunday, we talked about and learned how Jesus chose to place himself in a position of need. Remember that? You know, and we never really think that Jesus really needs anything. You know, we always go to him for what we need, right? We go to him to get our needs met. We go to him for healing or direction or provision or protection. So it's rare, it's not common that we think that Jesus has need of anything. But we learned last week that he does. He needs you. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus needs you. Yeah, he really does. See, Jesus needs us to participate and partner with him so that we can help fulfill his promises and his purposes on earth. Come on, how many of you know this is true? Yeah. So listen, Jesus loves you, Jesus chose you, and Jesus needs you. So last week we looked at a few examples where Jesus had needs, but how he used people to help meet that need. All right, so we recognize that Jesus needed a boat to preach from. Remember? The crowds were pressing down on him, and the multitudes were coming in. He had water behind him, and he needed a boat to preach in. So he asked Peter to take him out in the boat, and that boat would put some distance between him and the people, but the water would also be used as a natural amplifier so the word of God can be heard. All right, but he asked Peter to take him out, and the reality of that is because he wanted us to know that when you have skin in the game, come on, turn to your neighbor and get skin in the game. Yeah. He wanted Peter to participate, and I was letting you know last week, can you imagine what it was like for Peter? I mean, there's multitudes of people. Jesus is preaching, and Peter's the only one in the boat that's looking at the crowd, seeing how God's living, powerful word is penetrating each one of those people. Amen. So Jesus not only needed a boat, but he needed Peter to take him out. Last week, we also saw that Jesus needed some loaves and fish. Remember? He needed some loaves and fish to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. And so the disciples, it was getting late at night, and the disciples told Jesus that, man, maybe we ought to send these people away so they could go into the next town and buy something to eat. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. They said, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, bring them to me. Bring them to me. It was an obvious insufficiency, right? Yes. And so we learned last week that if you hold on to things in your own hands and you don't participate by giving the Lord those things, you'll always end up short. This is the tithing principle even, right? Lord says, if you hold on to things in your own hands, you'll come up short. But if you participate with me and give me what seems like an insufficiency, I'll make it more than enough. Listen, how many of you know this is a supernatural biblical principle? And the Lord's saying, I need your participation in all of this. And listen, I'm not shaking your wallet. By the way, we won't take up a formal offering today. There's boxes in the back you can drop your offering in. Listen, I'm not shaking your wallet today. I'm just telling you, if you're struggling financially, the Lord is saying, participate with me and let me release some supernatural stuff. Yes. Amen. He needs your participation. So the disciples brought him 2 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus broke the bread, and then he gave it back to the disciples, and the disciples distributed it to all of those people. And the question was, why didn't Jesus just bless the bread and break it and then call the people to line up and come get their meal. I mean, why did he put the loaves back in the disciples' hands to deliver? Can you imagine feeding 5,000 men plus women and children? I mean, how many times did they have to go back and forth? So why did Jesus ask them to do that? He needed the loaves and the fish, but he also needed his disciples to distribute it. Why did he do that? And the answer that I came up with is because Jesus wanted the disciples to experience a miracle moving through their hands. And that's what he wants with you. Yeah, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll cast out demons. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Amen. You need to know that, man, today, as we get through our service today, you need to know you're going to leave here with an expectation and you're going to leave here with faith, knowing that if you participate with Jesus, miracles will move through your hands too. Come on, how many know people need miracles today? Come on, they need miracle provision. They need miraculous healing. Listen, we don't need to think that we don't have help. Man, we tap into the reality of this Jesus that resurrected from the grave and took the sting out of death. We can tap into this today, but we need his spirit to move and guide us. Amen. We also learned last week that Jesus needed a place to celebrate the Passover meal with his disciples. Remember this? He needed a room, you know? And so he sent two of his disciples and he said, listen, find this man carrying a pitcher of water and follow him. This was an unnamed servant. Jesus said, man, I need a place to celebrate the Passover. Find this man carrying a pitcher of water and follow him. And when he comes into the master's house, tell the master, where can we have our Passover meal? And so Jesus needed a place to celebrate that Passover meal, but he used an unnamed servant to prepare the room for him. And we talked about how important it is that there's a special place in the heart of God for the unnamed servant. These are people that work behind the scenes. These are people that don't need accolades. They don't need platform. They don't need a whole bunch of affirmation. But they're always preparing a place for the Lord to be present. Amen? Yeah. Unnamed servants. We also saw that Jesus needed a donkey. That's kind of where we were last week, you know, with the Palm Sunday. That Jesus needed a donkey in order to come in with his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He needed that donkey to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, right? He needed the donkey, but he told his disciples, man, I need you to go find the donkey and I need you to loose it. So we learned last week that the donkey couldn't be used until it was loosed. And we correlated that with when Jesus came. This was the first resurrection, one of the first resurrections, is that when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, who has been dead 4 days, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Remember this? And Lazarus came forth, and he was bound head to toe. And so Jesus told his disciples, loose him and let him go. And so the Lord's speaking to us that, man, he needs us. We need each other because, listen, some of us, this happens all the time. Where Jesus has called us from death to life, church. We have eternal life, but sometimes we're walking around in our grave clothes. You know, we're holding on to some things of our past. Come on, are you hearing me? You know, and it might be some really deep emotional trauma, or it might be childhood abuse, but it's something where you know you're saved, you know you have eternal life, but you're bound to some of the things of your past. And the Lord wants to free you from that. And listen, you know what he's saying? You need each other. You need each other to loose one another from some of these things. Come on, this is what LWC is about. This is what the kingdom of heaven is about, amen? So it's all good stuff. So listen, whether it's letting him use your boat, whether it's letting him use a room in your house, you know, whether it's preaching or teaching or feeding the multitudes, listen, when we recognize that Jesus chose to say, I need you. I need you. And then we position ourselves to help him. Man, that's when your life gets fulfilled. Yeah, that's when you become very valuable and you become very fulfilled in purpose. Come on, I'm telling you, this is it. This is it. If there's an emptiness inside of your heart after you've been saved, it's because the Lord wants to fill that with that void with a place for you to serve, to help somebody, to share the good news. This is what we have to offer. Isn't that right, church? That's what we have to offer. The only thing that we really have to offer people, that has any eternal value is Jesus. Amen? That's what today's about. So listen, how many of you know that Jesus knew he was going to come down to this earth, that he was going to take on the sins of the world, he was going to die a criminal's death to forgive us of all our sins? How many of you know that's true? How many of you know that Jesus also knew that on the third day he would rise again from the dead? Yeah. Only a few of you? Yeah, he knew it. Yeah, come on, participate. Listen, how many of you also know that Jesus would need a tomb from which to rise from? Yeah. So listen, God chose two men to place Jesus in a tomb that he can rise up from. And these men's name were Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And listen, both of these men were secret disciples. They were secret followers of Jesus. Look at this, John chapter 19, verse 38. Look at this. Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took the body of Jesus. Look at verse 39. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, listen, in the darkness of the night, he also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Verse 40, then they took the body of Jesus, they bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus. So these two men were secret disciples. All right, they were secret followers of Jesus. All right, and they had kind of I would say they had a good excuse. Listen, both of these men were members of the Sanhedrin. In other words, these men were members of what would be the Jewish Supreme Court. So they were high-ranking Jewish rulers. And so if they were to publicly be identified with helping Jesus, man, they could have been ostracized. They could have been condemned. It would have cost them not only socially, but it would have cost them financially. And not only that, handling a dead body would mean they're defiled. It means they're unclean. So they really wouldn't be able to participate in the Passover meal. Right? But listen, when these two men saw Jesus hanging on the cross, man, their hearts were flooded with passion and courage to the point where they were willing to risk it all. And they did. They risked everything. So when Joseph asked for Jesus' dead body, Nicodemus was right there with linen cloths and spices to wrap that dead body together and prepare it for burial. So Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were secret disciples. They were secret followers. So listen, oftentimes, we prejudge. You know, we Christians, we may prejudge or we may criticize, and we may put pressure on people who are not outspoken believers. You know, we may even say things like, you know, if you are unseen and you're unheard, then your witness is invisible. And listen, there's some truth to that, right? There's some truth to that, because didn't Jesus say, man, you're the light of the world. You're the city set on a hill, right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Right, so we have that. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember? So there's truth to this. There's truth to this. But listen, not everyone has an outspoken personality. Are you hearing me? Some people are quiet. Some people are reserved, and some people are soft-spoken. All right, so listen, this is what I want to say. If you are a soft-spoken, behind-the-scenes, quiet Christian, I want to tell you something, okay? You're not disqualified. And you are not of any less value than those that stand up and stand out. Come on, are you hearing me? Listen, you have just as much impact and influence, and you can be just as fruitful as anybody at any time. All right, how many soft-spoken people we have in the house? No wonder you're not talking back to me. Man, I'd be thinking I'd get a lot more amens. You're like, amen, amen, yay. So listen, here in John 19, We have two men who are often criticized for being secret disciples or secret followers of Christ. But here's the question. Listen, where were the prominent disciples at this time? I mean, where were James and John, you know, the sons of thunder? Where were they? They were hiding for fear of the Jews. And you know, man, they saw Jesus beaten and bloodied, and, you know, they knew, man, this could be us. So they're hiding. Hey, where was Peter? Where was the rock at this time? You know, Peter, at this time, he'd already denied even knowing Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. So it was these two secret disciples who were at the cross, and they're ministering to Jesus, and they're preparing him for burial. You know, it's these two disciples, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they're really the ones that set the stage to make the resurrection of Jesus Christ have the impact that it had. They set it up. They were the ones that God called. I want you to take the dead body of Jesus, and I want you to put him in the tomb because he needs a tomb to rise from. Yes. Yeah, so listen, maybe you're here this morning and you're one that's not very vocal at work. You know, maybe you're not very vocal at school or very vocal, you know, in public. You know, maybe you're one of the quiet ones. And I just want you to take heart this morning because like Joseph and Nicodemus, man, you'll know when it's time to step up. You'll know. And I don't want you to feel disqualified. And I don't want you to compare. All right? I don't want you to compare yourself to others. I want you to own your personality and recognize that the Spirit of the living God in you is just as powerful as anybody that stands up in front of people. Yeah, amen. Amen? And your witness can have just the greater, as a greater impact. So listen, sometimes the secret disciples, man, they're the ones that who really, I mean, they really shine when the days get dark. Yes. I mean, they may be criticized a little bit, but I found in my own life that when everybody flees in fear, oftentimes it's the quiet ones that step up to the plate. Yeah, they might not want to get in all this, but man, when things settle down, they're the ones that appear. Amen? So listen, 3 days after Jesus was placed in the tomb, Mary Magdalene, you know, this is Mary Magdalene who Jesus had cast seven demons out of earlier. Mary Magdalene gets up early in the morning and she comes to the tomb only to find that the stone's been rolled away. Listen, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And from that day, for 40 days, Jesus would appear to his followers. All right, so the first person that Jesus appeared to in his resurrected form was Mary Magdalene. The second group that he appeared to were these two disciples that were leaving Jerusalem. They were downtrodden, their heads were down. They thought that Jesus was the Messiah, but they saw him dead. And so they left Jerusalem and they were walking to Emmaus. It was a 7-mile trip. And while they were walking, Jesus appeared to them. This was the second time that he appeared to people in his resurrected form. And he started walking with them and they didn't recognize it was him. You know, they were probably teary-eyed, their heads were down, and they were sad, they were confused, they didn't know what was going on, and Jesus walks right alongside them and starts walking with them. And listen, I want to say this about that. Listen, sometimes when you're down or depressed, you know, when you're walking through something and it's hard what you're going through, man, a lot of times you don't feel that Jesus is around. Come on. You're like, sometimes you'll even ask, where are you, Lord? Or where were you? Why weren't you there, right? But I want to let you know that he's always there. He's always there. You need to know that he will never leave you or forsake you. And it's not whether you feel it or not or whether you can see him or not. But just know he is there. He draws near to the brokenhearted. He lifts up those that are broken in spirit. So rather than questioning whether or not he's there, rather than questioning whether or not that he sees you or he's walking with you, just thank him that he's there. Come on, can you just thank him right now? Yeah, he's an ever-present help in time of need. Yeah, and when we know that, when we start declaring those types of things, it helps us. You know, so Jesus is walking along this road to Emmaus with the disciples, and he's talking to them, and they get to this crossroad, and Jesus was going to go on his own way, and they said, listen, they still don't know who he is. And they say, listen, why don't you come with us and hang out with us? So they had a meal together. And listen, Jesus took some bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. And when he broke the bread, they knew it was him. And so Jesus told them to go back to Jerusalem and talk to the other disciples. And this would be the third appearing of Jesus after his resurrection. And I want to look at this in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 35. You tracking with me so far? Luke 24, beginning in verse 35, it says, "Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them." This is his third appearance. He said, "Peace be with you." But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt?" Verse 39, he says, "Look at my hands and look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed him his hands and his feet. Verse 41, still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Can you imagine? It's like you would be wondering, is this for real? You know, they saw him beaten and bloodied. They saw him die on the cross. Are you hearing me? And here he is. And so they stood there. They were filled with joy and wonder, but they were in disbelief. It's like, man, you know, is this real? Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Listen, Jesus was still trying to get their attention. In some of the other gospels, he was taking something to eat so that he would be able to say, dead people or ghosts can't eat. You know, so he ate that in front of them. Verse 44, then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Listen, I have that underlined and highlighted in my Bible. Man, this is it for me. Lord, open up my mind to understand the scriptures. Yeah, that's how he speaks to us, church. And listen, I want to encourage you, man, get in your word, all right? And listen, I told you that Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So listen, when you read your Bible, don't just read it like you're reading a book, but have interaction, because Jesus is the word. It's the person of Jesus. So when you read your Bible, you have discussions with him, even when you're listening to the word. You know, and the word of God comes out even out of my mouth, or reading something, and it penetrates your heart. Man, you respond. You have a conversation with the Word of God while you read. Amen? It's a conversational relationship. That's what your Bible is. All right, it's not just I'm going to check off my reading box for the day. No, it's conversational, because the Word of God is a person. It'll change your life. It'll change your life when you're having conversations with the Lord, and you read something out of His Word, and it penetrates your heart, and you say, "Yes, I got it, Lord. I got it." Or you read something and it convicts you and you say, "Oh, Lord, man, I need strength in that area of my life." You know, you need encouragement. So I just want to encourage you, read your Bible conversationally. All right, it's not just ink on paper, church. It's more than that. Verse 46, and he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem." So here's the message that would be proclaimed in the authority of his name. Listen to this. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Come on. Listen. There is forgiveness for your sins. For everybody who repents. Listen, repentance is just recognizing, you know, "Lord, what I'm doing is wrong. Your word says that this behavior is wrong. I confess it and I repent." And he says, "Your sins will be forgiven," just like that. Yeah, come on, are you hearing this? This is the good news. He says, if you confess your sins, not sin, how many have sinned more than once? How many have walked in here with a handful? Yeah. So listen, so confessing sin is not promising you'll never sin again. Confession is saying the same thing. That word confession is homologeo, and it means say the same thing. So when you find and recognize that there's something in your life that isn't lining up, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, your word is true. Your word is true, and I'm recognizing that this behavior, this attitude, this is wrong. It doesn't line up with you. So, Lord, I confess this as sin. And he says, if you do that, I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yeah, constant confession will make you intimate with Jesus all the time because we sin all the time. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, you're a sinner. Saved by grace. But I still sin sometimes. So listen, you just recognize that when, as soon as you recognize, listen, let me tell you this too. Just because you sin doesn't mean that you're thrown out of the family. Listen, what Jesus did on the cross, this is who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So listen, if you remain in him, even if you sin, you might have to get your feet washed. You know, you might have some crud you picked up from the world, but it doesn't change your identity. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Come on, will you say that? Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. Yeah, Satan can't tell you anything different. Yeah. Man, when you begin to walk in the reality of what Jesus did for you, listen, when he went to the cross, man, he wasn't just, I'm just going to go to the cross, you know, and then, hey, you know, all chaka, bro, all good. Man, he laid down his life, not just so that you can be forgiven of one sin, but your whole walk in this polluted world, you can keep going back in the shadow of the cross and receiving what he did for you. Come on, this is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, our world needs to hear it. Our world needs to hear it through you. Verse 48, he says this, you are witnesses of all these things. How many of you would say, I'm a witness to the forgiveness of the Lord? Come on. Come on, you quiet spoken ones. Yeah. Man, you are witnesses. Listen, earlier I said, if you haven't received Jesus, raise your hand. Nobody raised their hand. So you're witnesses of the forgiveness of the sins, your sins that Jesus brought. So listen, you got to start declaring that. Jesus forgave me of my sins. And he's going to continue to cleanse me. He's going to continue to wash me. Come on, it just makes Christianity exciting. Come on, are you hearing this? Everyone say witness. Jesus said, you are witnesses of all these things. Witnesses. Notice that Jesus didn't call us to be his defense attorneys. Yeah, listen, I'm telling you where we're going here, all right? Jesus died, he rose from the grave, and he sent forth his spirit. And he sent forth his spirit that we might be witnesses. Amen? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, your job's not over. Yeah. Tell him this. Say, you may have dodged the fire, but you got a job to do. Yeah. We all do. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, you are a missionary. You have an assignment on your life. Yeah, when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, it doesn't mean you need to go across the seas, but just across the street. Yeah, wherever you go. And so Jesus didn't call us to be defense attorneys. He didn't call us to be judges. Listen, he's calling us to be witnesses. Right? Let me tell you what a witness is. A witness is one who simply shares the truth about what they've seen and heard. That's what a witness does. But sometimes as believers, you know, I think that it seems like we feel like we have to get into a debate with people. You know what I mean? Sometimes it feels like as believers, you know, we're saying, man, I'm saved and man, I got to be a witness. And we think, well, that means that I got to prove my point and I got to prove my case that this is why I believe what I believe, dadgummit. You know? We kind of take on this attitude. But listen, I want to tell you, I don't think any of that is necessary. Listen, can I give you an LWC 2024 strategy for witnessing? It's really simple. All right? less arguing, more sharing. Yeah, so listen, just simply share with people what you've seen and heard. Yeah, just share with them about what you're learning. You know, maybe share with them what you're going through and how God's helping you through it. You know, share with them how the Lord protected you. Just share with them from a really natural place what you're learning. And listen, let me tell you this. When you share as if the ones you're talking to are already saved. Come on, are you hearing me? Just share like they're already saved. You know, in other words, don't come at with some angle. Just share with them like they're already saved. And this is why, church, because listen, if you talk to people and share with them about Jesus, like Jesus is as natural to you as the air you breathe. Yeah, that's the strategy. Yeah, so you're not ashamed. You're not looking for an event. It's just he's constantly on your lips. Oh, man, you know, we were at work maybe. I was reading my Bible the other day. Oh, man, the Lord spoke this to me out of this psalm. Oh, it really touched me. You know, or I was praying. You know, just share naturally. Listen, be genuine. Listen, LWC. Be genuine, authentic, approachable believers. And leave the rest to Jesus. Yeah? We don't need to be running people over with the gospel. Right? We want people to be attracted to it. And let me tell you this. You don't have to be perfect. In fact, I'll tell you this. People will not be able to relate to perfect, but they can relate to real. Yeah, so just be a genuine Christian. Listen, we don't want you to be ashamed. Right? You know, if you're a secret, one of those quiet Christians, a secret follower of Jesus, don't do that because you're ashamed of Jesus. Then we got to work on that. We're not ashamed of what he did. Right? But I also want to recognize that, you know what, I'm not as outspoken as some people, and you just need to know that at just the right time, man, you're going to slip in exactly what you need to do or what you need to say for someone's life to be changed. Amen? So no comparisons? Yeah, no comparisons. Look at Luke 24:49 now. Jesus says, now, everyone say now. Say it again, now. Listen, now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Listen, the promise of the Father is Holy Spirit fullness. Come on, you hearing this? So listen, I might be coming at a couple different angles, and some of you might be thinking, you know, what? But listen, I want to tell you, the Christian life and the Christian witness, listen, it's not about me really trying hard to be a good Christian. I want to be a good Christian. Are you hearing me? But it's not all about me, like, I got to be a good Christian. I got to be a good Christian. You're a really good Christian. I'm going to be a good one, a good one. You know, it's not about me trying all the time to be a good Christian. And listen, it's not even about me trying to imitate Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to be like him. But it's not about me trying to imitate him because, listen, I can't. I can't on my own. So listen, this is what the Lord wants to say to us this morning. It's not so much about imitation. It's more about impartation. Jesus says, now I will send the promise of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to live in you. And the Holy Spirit's going to give you power from heaven. That's what we're after. Come on, I'm telling you. So it's not about me trying to imitate Jesus, not about me trying to be a good Christian. It's about me staying full of the Holy Spirit. Listen, church, Jesus is alive. Do you understand? He's risen, church. Listen, he rose from the grave, listen to me, and he sent his Holy Spirit. And listen, his Holy Spirit lives in me. And the Holy Spirit will tell me what to do and when to do it. Yeah, the Holy Spirit in me will tell me what to say and when to say it. He'll also tell me when to shut up. Yeah? So Jesus rose. The next thing that happened, he goes, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Listen, the resurrection really activated what needed to happen next, and that's us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So listen, we're not trying to imitate Jesus. We're not trying to be good Christians. We just have the Holy Spirit within us, and he tells us what to do and what to say. Yes. And listen, not only does he tell us what to do, he gives us the power to be able to do it. Yes. Come on, listen, I'm telling you, we're moving forward in all this stuff, but I'm telling you, we need to activate the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to have an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God that lives in you. So that signs, wonders, and miracles can work through your hands. That supernatural love can be poured out to the unlovable. Yes. Come on, man. This is what makes your Christianity exciting. Yes. You know, listen, we can't move any further into 2024 just saying, well, praise God, I'm saved. Well, what about your neighbor? Yes. You know, we got to move forward in the reality that, man, I got the Holy Spirit living in me. And Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do, and greater works than these you will do, because I go to my Father. And when I go to my Father, I'm going to send you another helper. He's not just going to be with you, he's going to be in you. Yes. Come on, we need to be empowered with this, church. Yes. Do you know that this is real Christian living? Yes. Come on, are you with me? Yes. Yeah. So that we need to have these things stirred up inside of us, because listen, church, otherwise we're just dead. We're just dead Christians. We're walking around saved, but we're like dead. No power, no hope, nothing to offer anybody. Are you hearing me? So listen, this Resurrection Sunday, the Lord wants to stir up the Spirit of God in you, and he wants you to begin seeking that. I want to get baptized in the Spirit of God. Yeah, that I can make a difference. I can roll up on an impossible situation and know I'm not alone in this. Come on, church. Yeah. So look at these verses. Let me run through these real quick. Look at this. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, Jesus is speaking. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Everyone say another helper. Yeah, listen, this other helper, this is what Jesus is saying. I'm going to send you another helper, and this helper is going to do for you what I did for you while I was presently with you. But look what he says, I'm going to give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Listen, but you know him. He dwells with you, and say it with me, and will be
in you.
Yes. Yeah. Jesus says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I've been walking with you for 3 years. I've been walking with you, but man, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be another helper. He's going to do for you in my absence what I did for you when I was presently with you, and this Holy Spirit is going to be in you, and you'll be able to do what I did. Yeah. You seeing this? Look at John 14, 26. Jesus goes on. He says, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he'll bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. How many of you ever get into a situation where you don't know what to do? Amen. Yeah. You ever hit a wall and you're or a crossroad and you go, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know what decision to make. Listen, you have the Holy Spirit in there, he'll tell you what to do. He will. He'll teach you things. Listen, how many of you recognize how important it is for us to have this working relationship with the Holy Spirit? Come on, are you hearing this? And let me tell you what happens sometimes. You know, we get filled with the Spirit, and some of you may have had an experience. Man, I was filled with the Spirit in 1987. I spoke in tongues, was slain in the Spirit. Oh, what a glorious day. And you haven't been filled since. Yeah, so what I'm saying is that this infilling of the Holy Spirit, it's an event that happens, but how many of you know the Holy Spirit fullness can fade in a believer's life? That's my concern here. Have we allowed the Holy Spirit's presence in our heart to fade to where he's just a visitor that might show up now and then, or is he actively moving in your life? Come on, church. Yeah, and I'm not angry. I was like, well, you're pounding the table like you're angry. I'm just passionate. Okay. All the quiet ones, they're going, dang. They're all ducking. Oh. Why is he so loud? That's okay. You'll be, turn to your neighbor and say, you'll be all right, you'll be all right. Look at John 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7, Jesus continues. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Come on, this is what he's telling his disciples before he's going to die. You got to understand that he's been walking with them. You know, he calmed a storm when they thought they were going to die. Do you understand? Yeah, he was casting demons out of people. You know, he rose Lazarus, you know, from the dead. He was answering all the Pharisees' questions, and now he's saying, it's to your advantage that I go away. Well, what were the disciples thinking? How can this be an advantage? You've taken care of everything for us. Look what he says. Where was I? Oh, here it is, verse 7, John 16, verse 7. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. This is today. Yeah. He sent the Holy Spirit to us. Yeah? And listen, Jesus is saying, I need your participation. I want you to participate and partner with the Holy Spirit in you so you can do the works that I did. Come on, listen, church. This is the church. It's not just meeting in here. Listen, you come here to LWC on Sunday mornings to get equipped, empowered, and sent out to make a difference. But you need to know when you leave this place, you're not going without any help. You need to know, man, I got the Holy Spirit living in me. And the Holy Spirit wants to be active in your life. Amen? John 16, verse 13. Jesus continues, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Listen, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So listen, when you're in tune and you're reading your word and you're in tune and you're having conversations with your word of God, when you're reading and you're in relationship with the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say and when to say it. And listen, when you speak what the Holy Spirit speaks, you'll be speaking with authority. Amen. Listen, not your authority, but with the authority of Christ. Remember they even said that about Jesus? Man, you speak with one that has authority. And Jesus said, well, I don't speak anything unless the Father tells me to speak it. He's saying the same thing with you. The Holy Spirit in you, yeah, he won't speak anything unless the Father gives him the authority to speak it. So when we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, our words will penetrate. Yeah, because they'll be his words. Amen? So look at this. Look at this last part. And he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. Come on, what advantage is that? You know, listen. We have the news to tell us what happened today. We have a newspaper to tell us what happened yesterday. And the Lord's saying, you have the Holy Spirit in you to tell you what's coming down the pike. I'm going to tell you things to come. Come on. How many of you know that Jesus can do this for you? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you have the advantage. Yeah, don't disregard the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus died on the cross. The whole reason he died, well, he died on the cross to forgive us our sins, but he raised from the grave so that he can send the Holy Spirit so we can be everything that he needs us to be. And he's saying, I need you to participate with me. Yeah? Come on, doesn't it feel good that you don't have to go out there alone? Just bumble through it. Look at Acts chapter 1. We're getting there. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. So Luke is writing this. It says, being assembled together with them, so Jesus appeared to them here. He was assembled together with them, and he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Look at this, verse 5. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Two different things. Yeah? Well, listen, we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be teaching on some of these things. But listen, I want to tell you, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, when you get baptized in water, by the way, we are having a baptism. You know, we have a baptism interest form. Man, if you want to get baptized or know somebody that wants to get baptized, sign up for that. I think we have 8 or 10 so far. Listen, we're going to have a baptism service. So listen, when you get baptized, we really baptize you. So we submerge you in the water. All right. Now listen, when you go down into the water and you come out, is the water in you or on you? Yeah, it's on you, unless you, you know, we won't hold you down that long. So listen, when you get baptized in the Spirit of God comes in you and it overflows. That's what we want. So some of you are saved by the Spirit, but you're not filled with the Spirit. So you received the Spirit of God when you asked Jesus into your heart. So now you are saved by the Spirit, but the Lord said there's something else. Yeah, that's why it says here, it says that you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he's talking to the disciples not many days from now. In other words, it hadn't happened yet. It hadn't happened yet. Come on, are you seeing this? So listen, I want to tell you, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit comes into you, and the Holy Spirit begins to overflow out of you so that you're wet on the outside. Yeah, listen, if I'm wet on the outside and you come and touch me, you're going to get wet. Yeah? So when we're saved by the Spirit, we got the Spirit on the inside, but everybody that rolls up against us, they're not getting anything. There's a filling of the Holy Spirit, an overflowing of the Holy Spirit that I feel like the Lord wants to just keep on pouring in and over. Listen, my cup needs to overflow. How about yours? Yeah, are you hearing this? I just want to let you know where we're going, okay? We can't do what the Lord asks us to do without the Holy Spirit in our lives and us participating with that. Are we all good on here? Yeah, we're not going to get all weird on you. Some people are scared of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we don't have nothing to be afraid of. Verse 8, Acts chapter 1, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. There it is. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. So Jesus came to implement the promise of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Look at this. The promise. What are we talking about? The promise of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, is it for you? Yeah, the promise is to you. Listen. And to your children. Oh, come on. We need this generation walking in the promise of that. Come on, we need it. We need your kids speaking in tongues. We need your kids having this experience with the Holy Spirit while they recognize I can lay hands on an adult and they can be healed. Yeah, the Holy Spirit in children. We've got to get our next generation engaged in what's happening in the life of the church. Yeah. You know, we're living in a generation. It's like, well, you know, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't. And your kids aren't getting discipled. They have Jack to walk in the world with, except for what their influences might be from TV or some screen. Listen, we have to put our kids in a position where they're hearing the Word of God and they're seeing adults walking with the Lord. They need to see, you want your kids to see you as a parent on your knees before the Lord and crying out for help. Yes. And saying, thank you, Jesus, that they see you in a worship position. Man, that will stick, church. Yes. It'll stick. And we need to model it. That's why the fourth Sunday of every month, we have Family Worship Day, where we bring everybody in here. So your kids can be part of the adult service and feel how the Spirit of God is moving. And they can see adults doing whatever they do, unashamed, like the song says. Amen. You guys bored yet? Listen, I got you on Easter. I got a couple more here. Listen, the Father issued this promise of the Holy Spirit centuries before the resurrection. This wasn't just like a knee-jerk reaction, like, oh, you know what? I think, yeah, well, yeah, you'll resurrect and we'll send the Holy Spirit. This was part of a plan centuries before the resurrection. Look at Ezekiel 36. 25 through 27, check it out. God is speaking here, and he says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. How many say, I need that? I want to be clean from all my filthiness. And he says in verse 26, I'll give you a new heart, and I'm going to put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now listen, let's pause here, because think about a stone. What happens when you pour water on a stone? Nothing gets in, right? But when it's flesh, man, you start pouring water on something like your skin. You know, I mean, think about it. I don't know how much percentage of water we're made up of, you know, but I know this, that it's like if you have a really hard soil and you can pour water on it and it will just beat off. You know what I'm talking about? You till that soil up a little bit and pour water on it and it starts absorbing the water. And this is what the Lord says about our heart. And I believe that sometimes our heart gets hard. You know, you walk with the Lord for so many years and things happen. Maybe you get injured. Maybe you got wounded. You know, maybe someone broke a promise or some leader in the church called you a name or who knows. But we all have these things we got to deal with. And sometimes what happens is our heart gets hard. Our love grows cold. Come on. Come on. How many have been wounded by a friend before? Yeah, listen, you know, we have to deal with that. You know, it's going to happen. And sometimes, though, if we don't go to the Lord and we don't come to the Lord and be pliable, and we don't allow him to kind of till up the soil of our heart, man, our heart can become hard. And so when the Spirit of God begins to flow, it just kind of beads off our heart. And the Lord says, man, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to heal you of that hardness of heart. You know, I'm going to heal you from the pain. I'm going to heal you from the bitterness, from the resentment, from the unforgiveness, from the anger. And I'm going to give you a heart of flesh that's going to be receptive to what I have. Verse 27, look what he says. And I will put my spirit within you. Centuries before the resurrection. Yeah, this is all part of his plan, church. And I'll cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments, and you'll do them. One more point. What are we talking about? You're here today, and every time you come to LWC, it's for the purpose for me to equip you, to empower you, and send you out so that you can go and make a difference in the world you live in your sphere of influence, right? And a lot of times when it comes to sharing our faith, you know, we think that, man, if I only had a program or if I had some steps to follow on how to witness, right? And sometimes I think that we find ourselves trying to find a program to help us witness. And I just want to encourage you today, rather than look to programs or plans to guide you, listen, look to the person of the Holy Spirit that's living in you. All right, and listen, rather than following a step-by-step plan, this is what the Lord wants us to be. Rather than following a step-by-step plan, the Lord wants us to be led by the Spirit moment by moment. All right, turn to your neighbor and see, be a moment-by-moment witness. Yeah, come on, do you get it? You get it? So it's like it's constant. It's constant. It's moment by moment that I'm learning to be led by the Spirit. I'm learning to hear by the Spirit. You know, you're being able to recognize when you're driving down the road or something and you hear the Spirit whisper in your ear and you say, man, I got to go there. I got to go do this. And you're a moment by moment witness and you're just responding to the Spirit of God in your life. Can I tell you that this is what makes your life exciting? I'm telling you the truth. Your Christian walk only becomes vibrant and real to the degree that you're living it out hour by hour and moment by moment. If you're just living it out Sunday by Sunday, in other words, it's just an activity that's the right thing to do on Sunday, but man, there's nothing happening during the week. You've entered into a religious rut. And the Lord wants to let you know, I need you. You're valuable to me. And I want to use you. And I sent my Holy Spirit to live in you. My Spirit will speak to you and tell you what to do. And I'm going to partner with you. And I'm going to work with you to help people come to me and bring healing and hope to people. Listen, this isn't just about getting people saved all the time. Like we said, you know, sometimes we have Christians that are walking around in their grave clothes. You know, they're saved, but they have some things of their past that they haven't dealt with yet. And you can be the one that unwraps. You know, last week I shared that you don't have to be completely free to help someone else get free. You know what I'm saying? You know, maybe you got one, you know, you're all wrapped up in your old grave clothes and you got one arm free. you're like, oh, you know, and you can go over and you can help somebody. You don't have to be completely perfect to help, but you can use, this is how this arm got free. This is how this arm got free. And it becomes a moment-by-moment testimony of God's grace in your life. Amen? Was that good? Yeah. Got about 45 more minutes. Yeah, let me just close with it. I just want to close out what happened here in Luke chapter 24, 50 through 53. It says, Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshiped him and then returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. So the last act of Jesus after the resurrection was to bless them. The first act of the believers after the ascension was to worship him. And a lot of times I think that we come in, and I do this too. You know, I'll worship the Lord. I know that I need to. I know that, man, I got to break through some things. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise, all these things. But sometimes I approach the Lord in worship because I'm thinking I need to be blessed. You know, and there's really nothing wrong with that, right? But you know what true worship is? It's not lifting up my hands to him so that I can receive a blessing. It's lifting up my hands and my voice in worship because of what he's already done. Yeah. And it changes things because we're thankful and we're reflective and we move in that. Amen. Amen. Well, let me pray a blessing over you and we'll get you out of here. Father, I want to thank you for your word today. Lord, all of us here, we recognize that we're not perfect. And Lord, not only do we recognize that you need us, but Lord, we're recognizing how much we need you, how much we need your Holy Spirit. So Lord, help us to close the gap between us and you. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll speak to us by your Spirit and by your word. And Lord, that as we move forward from this 2024 Resurrection Sunday, from this house, that Lord, we'll see change wherever we go. I want to encourage you parents who have toddlers, lay hands on them, speak the word of God over them. Let them know what you're doing. Explain to them why you're laying hands on them. If they're ill, if they get a runny nose, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Just begin to operate as those that believe and model that for your kids. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit. And we thank you for the promises that come to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.